Welcome to Viva Politics Podcast, a podcast about the intersection of politics, media, and pop culture, hosted by a Generation Xer, veteran political consultant, Dr. Laura Barberena, that would be me, and the Viva Politics Office Millennial, Lauren Coronado.
Hi, Laura.
Hello. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
I'm very excited about today's topic. We're going to be talking about Latinx. Latinx. Yeah, I can't even say it. So I'm so glad we're having this conversation because I can't even say it. So Latinx is a new, I don't say, it's not that new, actually. It's actually
been
around.
The concept has been there.
Right. Right, right. In fact, I was doing a little bit of research for this podcast. I came across a video that the Daily Texan, which is the newspaper from the UT Longhorns, University of Texas at Austin, they had actually done a little video where a young woman who was writing for the Daily Texan said that she had been using Latino. And that some folks were telling her, no, you need to use Hispanic. So then she started using, she was using Hispanic. Then she's like, no, you need to use Latino. So then she was using Hispanic and Latino. And they said, no, you need to use Latinx. Yeah. So in her piece, she ended
up. Don't be complicit in the patriarchy.
So she ended up using all three terminologies and or these terms. So in the video, they actually are doing like a kind of a vote to the students to say, which do you prefer? And they interviewed a few students, and it was interesting because like one girl said, oh, I prefer Hispanic, but I really like Latinx. And another's like, well, you know, I like Latino, but I hadn't heard of Latinx. And now that I've heard of Latinx, I like it. So it's just very interesting that it's, and again, doing a little bit of research, I found that obviously in academia, it's been used, it's being used pretty much I think a majority of the papers now that are being, it's commonplace because it has this gender neutrality aspect to it. And then, which, you know, and also the fact like Hispanic and Latino kind of represent, I mean, it is the same, but it's not. So Hispanic obviously is a word created that was used during the census to kind of envelop all of non-white,
right.
And so it included Spain, anyone in Europe that had any kind of Spanish descent, then Latino kind of came into play, but that sort of really, it sort of was the Americas, right? Not really looking
indigenous
at your
peoples,
right.
Yeah.
But again, we had that Latino versus Latina. And so you're writing a paper, it gets to be a bit cumbersome when you're trying to do A's and O's. And so I remember that there was at one point the use of Latino with the ampersand.
Yes. I used to use that in high school as kind of like the both, like the Latino, Latina, and use the at symbol.
Yeah, the at symbol. But the problem that I have with this, I wouldn't know how to say it. So it's like Latino ampersign. Latino at. It's like, it's Latino at just doesn't have a nice.
I actually had a pronunciation. I think it was more of just like
a visual
symbolic thing.
Yeah.
That when reading, you would still say Latino, but seeing it, you would know it meant both genders.
Right.
Which
but sort of defeats the purpose, right? I mean, that's kind of the whole point, is that you're trying to encompass both genders by using the word. Mm-hmm. But if you're saying it out loud and you're just using the O pronunciation, it sort of kind of defeats the purpose, I think.
Better than nothing.
At that time, it certainly was better than nothing. And then suddenly we have the X, which is just...
Even more inclusive, as it includes non-binary and non-gender conforming people.
But, and there's just something also that's kind of cool about the X. Like, X is just like X-Men, you know, Sochi starts with an X, you know.
That still throws me off.
I know, right? But I do feel like the X is kind of, it's kind of like this cool letter of the alphabet. And, you know, saying Latinx, I think, kind of rolls off the tongue a little easier than Latino ampersand. So I also want to talk about the word Chicano/Chicana, because that's also a word that's been used to identify, but that's a word that's always sort of been politically charged, right? It has a political identity associated to it, where Latinx doesn't really have a political... What do you think? Do you think Latinx has a political connotation to it? Do you think if someone calls themselves Latinx, that denotes some sort of political belief that they have?
I don't think it's necessarily about a political affiliation or political views. I think it's about expressing your identity in a way that's more truthful and encompassing than just male and female and male for the group.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Chicano, Chicana really had, it was a very charged word, right? And mm-hmm. it kind of came up in the 1980s. So it was like, as people were discovering the decade of the Latinos, right? The sleeping mm-hmm. giant, as it was all, you know, political. And Chicanos were seen as this group that wanted to, it was sort of surrounded by nationalism, right? Like this notion of we want to repatriate the United States and take over and make it Mexico again. And so it was very politically charged. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we also ran, you know, had a third political party, La Raza Unida, which then ran political candidates and...
La Raza Unida, is that the same as the National Council of La Raza?
No, that's actually different. That's like a different... Oy. That's like a... Yeah, it gets kind of confusing. So I was looking up a news... a paper about Chicano identity and the revolution, and it talked about... that there were two principal schools of thought that had emerged within the Marxist-Leninist movement. So clearly the word Chicano has this very, very, it's rooted in a very political identity type of meaning, where now the words that we're using, like Hispanic, Latino, and now Latinx, are tending to move away from any type of, I think it's definitely void of this political mm-hmm. Identity, right, as we think of.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that by politicizing those terms in association with someone's identity, you are politicizing them as a people and as a culture, and that's not, they don't need to be. They just need to exist.
You know, and I wonder, because Latinx is a term that's being widely used in academia mm-hmm. and certainly among your generation and the generation after
I've always known it in academia. Right. So
yeah. And when I was getting my PhD, which was not too long ago, mm-hmm. it still hadn't really been adopted.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, in just this short period of time, it's really become the standard. The question is, Lauren, mm-hmm. will this become the standard in political comm, as in to voters, right? So right now we're using it in academia as we discuss, you know, our culture, our art, mm-hmm. our politics, you know, we're using this word to describe this group of people. But the question is, do we use that word when we produce a mailer for someone who's running for office? Like, does, as we affectionately refer to Senora Martinez, yeah. who lives on the west side of San Antonio, like if you do a mailer that says, you know, this state rep really is out there supporting Latinx, like, will she even know what that means?
Mm-hmm. Well, she should. But the reality of that is maybe not. Or if she does know what it means, there's a really good chance that a lot of this generation is still homophobic and doesn't want to accept non-binary people. And the term Latinx, because it includes them.
Or maybe she'll think it's a typo. Which is probably the more... realistic perspective. Like, she won't understand what the X stands for, right? I mean, they'll just be completely...
I feel like most people do. And people that don't, it's because they don't want to accept it.
Really? I think that older generations haven't been exposed to it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who, you know, don't... You know, just sort of working class families and people that aren't avid readers like yourself haven't been exposed to this particular... you know, terminology. But I think it'll be something to see, like, will this get adopted and be used, you know, sort of more in pop culture and in everyday life? Or is this something that's just going to be relegated to, mm-hmm. you know, academia and people talking about politics or people working in spaces?
I mean, I think it already has been. Most of the Latinx pop culture that I consume does use it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So pop culture mm-hmm. aimed at older people. I'll just keep qualifying it. But no, but yes, definitely you see in memes and tweets and things of that nature mm-hmm. where people have adopted. But again, I don't see, Mrs. Martinez is not exactly, you know, on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yeah, so, but, you know, and so, but I guess my question is this something that's going to stick? Because like the Latino ampersand,
That was flawed to start with. Yeah, it was totally flawed. It was an effort. And an applauded effort. But
actually, you know, you kind of wonder if that needed to happen to get to the Latinx. Like, I mean, it was almost like a precursor, right? It's a transition. You needed to sort of like, oh, this sort of didn't work. And then they've kind of been able to move. But, and so for me, when I think about Latinx, it's like, I don't see it as a fad. Right? Like, I see this as a logical linear movement.
Or
in language.
As a shift in culture. Like, our language impacts the way we think, and the way we speak leads to an awareness. And by including this term in our vocabulary, we're culturally making that decision to include these people.
So I wonder if I could be like considered a Chicana Latinx. Like, what if I start combining these terms, right? Just like create up a whole new political identity. So I'm taking that sort of generic view of myself and then adding a Chicana element to it. Well, that would just really confuse Mrs. Martina. She'd be like, what? No entiendo, no entiendo, no entiendo. So, and another little thing I wanted to touch upon, and you and I were talking about this in the office a couple of weeks ago, is I had gotten an email from DC, and in the signature, it said preferred pronouns. And I remember you and I having a conversation, and you just said, yeah, Laura, everybody does it. Everybody does it. And I was like, everybody but me, I am not doing it. So, but I do think that... And I was talking to some friends who live in D.C., and she says, oh, yes, Laura, everybody's doing it in D.C. Yeah. Like, it's just sort of like among professional circles that this is – I guess I'm not hanging around professional people anymore. But anyway, around professional circles that everybody's using these pronouns. And then we were recently at an event where someone on their name tag – you want to tell that story? I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, so we printed – like pre-printed name tags for an event of people that had RSVP'd just so, you know, they look nice and they're pretty and we look professional when we put on an event. And they had handwritten their pronouns under their name, and she wrote she, her, ella. And I just like complimented her because I love the inclusion of using her female – her Spanish pronouns in there as well, because I had never seen that before. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is brilliant.
So why do you think, because for me, this notion of being very conscious of our pronouns and being very aware of the pronouns that we're using, I feel like it's a recent phenomenon. Like, I feel like it's something that has only been happening over the last maybe 4 or 5 years. Like, it's something that certainly when I was growing up, like, we didn't pay attention to these little details, right? And I don't know if that's because everyone was just so rigid. Like, it was like there was only one, you know, two A or B, right? There's two genders, and you had to choose, and it was like that was it, right? And now that
we even then, how you presented physically would fall you into one of those categories. You didn't have the option to identify as something other than your physical.
Your physical exterior persona, right? So if you were physically exterior looked feminine, that you were, all the assumption was always that you would be using the feminine pronouns.
Or if you were a feminine presenting male, people would call you he, even if that might not be how you identified.
How I identified, right. But I wonder, like, how – what do you think has happened that has allowed us as a society or as a culture to be more open to this and inclusive? And do you think that this is something that Latinos can embrace as a culture? Is this something that you think Latinos have difficulty in? Is this like I just want to kind of get your perspective on sort of this use of pronouns. And when did you first encounter it to your recollection? Can you remember? Because, I mean, literally,
no,
I mean, I remember.
Really. I don't think I can remember.
Because it's been a while for you because you're a different generation. And for me, like, I've seen it, like, over the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, my parents are very socially conscious as well. So just, oh, if someone tells you that's how they identify, that's what you call them. And that's not, like, a question.
Right. But this notion of it actually being in, like, your email signature, like that, like, which is.
I think I started, like, emailing as an adult around the time that happened. So it was never like, oh, the time before, you know?
Right. But I do think it's interesting that, and actually, I find it quite helpful, to be honest.
It's
because, I mean,
nice to just know, to not have to ask and like be embarrassed by using the wrong pronouns.
Right.
Like, I would rather you tell me than let me embarrass myself.
Exactly. Well, and then oftentimes, and we've talked about it too, where we have a friend who identifies as a she, and people will refer to them as a he. And it's very frustrating, at least for me, because I feel like it's clear that...
Oh, yeah, I almost walked out of a meeting the other day because someone kept referring to her as she.
As a he, right. And it's very frustrating because it's like, it's pretty clear this individual wants to be identified as a she, yet they keep referring to her as he. And it's just frustrating. And it's like...
And then I have to remind myself that they are older and they don't understand, because in the moment, it just feels malicious.
Right. And it is, I think that is kind of a generational thing, right? Like, I feel like there's a sort of a generational, when we think about, you know, baby boomers maybe aren't as open to this.
Yeah, to the concept.
To this concept of the, and the language identifying and and being able to.
Because, I mean, I guess 5 years of a cultural shift compared to the past 65 years of how they've been thinking isn't as easy of a pill to swallow as it was for me.
Right. And then the question is, you know, to what extent, and we were talking about this too earlier about like, to what extent will people like sort of identify as Latinx? And is it really an identity or is it just a label? You know, because I think
it depends. If you're referring to a group of people, mixed gendered people, then I think it's a label. It's encompassing, but if your identity is non-binary, then that is your identity. You're Latinx. You're not Latina or Latino.
Yeah, it's so interesting and fascinating, and certainly something that we see culture shifts happening. And it just fascinates me as a Generation Xer. It just fascinates me how language changes and how, in fact, I was reading somewhere like the dictionary adopts new words. You know, I don't know how many new words every year of this new language that we adopt. And I don't even know if
language is constantly shifting.
Yeah, I don't know if Latinx is actually in the dictionary per se. It is. It is finally. So it didn't take long for it to get adopted. Yeah, makes so it's just, I just find it extremely interesting and wonder to what extent will we, because we haven't really seen it, I don't think we've seen it in political communication to voters yet. Like, I haven't seen a lot of it when we're talking to persuade voters. And it just might be that maybe we just don't even use that word per se as we communicate.
Yeah, I don't think my house gets very Latinx targeted pieces because of where I live.
Yeah.
But
I just think it's interesting to see, you know, how long will it take for us to begin to adopt that that word into our communication to voters. And maybe it'll be something where it gets adopted as we target younger voters because they're used to it, right?
Well, hopefully in the next, 10 months for the 2020 election.
Oh, my God. And you're there's a little evil streak in you because every election cycle, Lauren does this thing here at her office where she has a countdown.
Got to keep everyone on their toes.
Of how many days to the election? And so it's very.
Today's 161. I just updated it until the March 3rd primary.
So there it is. We have 161 days to figure out how Latinx. I keep saying Latinx. And I think that's just, again, culturally, I was brought up to say Latino. So that's like, that's where my pronunciation goes. And so I need to like retrain my brain. Because when I'm reading it, when I'm reading it, it's in my brain, okay. But when I try, when I say it, it's like, I say Latinx. It's like, no, it's not Latinx. It's Latinx.
It's just a shift. Brain. They happen, and 50 years from now, no one will remember it. I mean, no one questions why in English we don't use thou anymore.
Thou art correct in your assessment that we don't use thou anymore. Mm-hmm. That's so funny. It is. Yeah. We don't use thou.
We don't use thou. We just use you. Which is like usted, and that was like, we don't use it. Just like, nope. It's a waste of time. Bye.
So interesting. Yeah. Well, I love to talk about language. I love to talk about the words that we use to describe ourselves and the words that we adopt and how we use them to communicate, especially when we're talking about politics. So I think this has been a very interesting conversation for me, Lauren. Thank you for helping me understand more about the way we use this word.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. And you've been listening to the Viva Politics podcast. We hope you'll continue to tune in. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.